Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372. Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks so much for tuning into the show as we celebrate all things creating and share our stories. I say we're going to get together and tune our imaginations. And, you know, when I started Art Zany Radio, I wanted to promote this vibrant community and share the story of the art world. I am fascinated by the imagination and the power of engaging in our creative minds. It's a tool that is readily available to all of us at any time of any day. And it's such a great gift that we've been given. And this week, one of the things that I was thinking about was I was inspired to look up some of Stephen Pressfield's quotes from his work, The War of Art: Break Through Blocks and Win Your Inner Creative Battles. It's something he just does it so well. So I highly recommend that book if you're interested at all in all in the topic. And what he shares about resistance is profound, and his views have really changed the way many people think about their passions and pursuits. Here's one of my favorite quotes. Most of us have two lives, the life we live and the unlived life within us. Between the two stands resistance. Art and resistance go together, and our learning of how to handle resistance is what our job really is. And so I think that if you can ask yourself the question, do you recognize when you're experiencing resistance? And do you find in your work that resistance is a powerful force? Take note and try to move through that, get some help, ask some questions, find somebody who may have also been in that place. And, you know, I think these past few years, it's likely that we have been allowed to sit in that gap and think about what we're doing and where we're going. And I think that's what explains a lot of the shifts that are happening in this world. People are reimagining their lives. Some are pondering their next steps. And I found that it's hard not to let that resistance win in that time when we were so unsure of the world. And I'm trying to create more of that space for doing what I love. And I hope you are too. And that's why I'm so glad that I have this show so we can explore these topics together. And I absolutely love exploring these. I'm thrilled that after doing this show for over 15 years, I'm still learning, because it's a lifelong journey. And there are so many wise artists and teachers in our community, and I cannot imagine a world without the arts. We can be guided through whatever life has in store for us by following our imaginations. It's the search for that joyous spark that adds the zest we need in life. The pursuit of imagination is the lightness of life and the key to connection. Engaging creating is the way to explore our world, and this is the positive force we need to carry us to a better future. I hope that you're inspired by these stories, and my greatest goal is to encourage you to engage with your imagination and the arts community. So what are we waiting for? Let's get started. Today on Art Zany Radio, I am thrilled to be able to invite two guests from both of our great community art centers. Jenny Atanaway from the Northfield Arts Guild will be here, and Julie Faulkler from the Paradise Center for the Arts. They're going to discuss the upcoming Artist Development Series. And then at the very end of the show, Paul Nemistow is going to pop in and talk about this weekend's Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra concerts. The concerts are called Totally Romantic, the music of Nielsen and Bruckner. Sounds like a great, great event. So let me pop on the mics and welcome my first guest to Art Zany Radio. I'm so delighted that you're here. Thank you for being here, both of you. You've both been here before, and it's such a thrill. This is a brand new series, but before we get that, I might want to have you spend just a minute introducing yourselves so people know a little bit about you as both artists and then also those that work within the arts community at nonprofit organizations. Who wants to jump in first? They're,
go ahead, Jenny.
Jenny's going to go first then.
So I'm Jenny Autonoy, and I am an artist myself. I write poetry. I have been mostly painting in gouache for the last, 5 years or so, which I love, which I promote often. And I've been working at the Northville Arts Guild for about 2.5 years. So I started right as the pandemic was, 2 months before the pandemic began, which kind of leads into why I got involved in this artist development series, which I can talk about later. I grew up in Minnesota, left here when I was 18, lived in California for 25 years, and then moved back. So I'm kind of a retransplant, I suppose you could say.
Maybe Minnesota never left you and you were called back.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of different reasons why I came back, but it's been a good foundational place. And Northfield was always kind of like, I grew up in Farmington, so Northfield was always like this like cool college-y, like they had coffee shops and a music store and an art store. And so it was like the cool place to go.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, it's delightful to have you here again.
Thank you.
And Julie, jump in and tell us a little bit about yourself and your work.
Hi, I'm Julie Fockler. I'm the Visual Arts and Education Director at the Paradise Center for the Arts in downtown Faribault. I've been there 11 years. I can't believe it.
Wow.
I started as a volunteer and then box office and added education and just kept adding things. Love the Paradise, love Faribault, Northfield. And I'm a visual artist. I paint and draw in clay, and it's always animals, mainly pet portraits.
But people may recognize your style, and it's certainly worth looking up those images. And so it's wonderful that both of you have the perspective of having, you know, the work in that world and also being artists yourselves, because you can bring a lot to the table. So I'm kind of curious about the, first I want to start with, I mentioned the quote from Stephen Pressfield, and it was your email, Jenny, that inspired me to take a look at it a little further. It's a book that I read a while ago, but I was really just drawn back into those questions that he asked. And the quote that you have from him in your email is, "Creative work is a gift to the world and every being in it. Don't cheat us of your contribution. Give us what you've got." And I thought, oh, that's another great quote. I mean, he's full of them. And so I think that you know, kind of says something about this series too, right?
I mean, I do think that that we have unlimited possibilities to bring who we are and what we know and what we've experienced creatively into the world. And so knowing that, like, that's something I strive for myself, but then also I know that I have a lot to learn always, and there's a lot of other people that are striving in their ways, and they know a bunch of stuff. And I guess the driving force behind trying to create this artist development series was like, we should get together and talk about the things that we know how to do and help other people who maybe don't know how to do this particular thing or have this skill developed or whatever it might be, so that we can just better each other and, you know, help each other along the way. So,
and that's something I've found in this community, is that there are a lot of people who have, you know, wisdoms and their willingness to share. And so it's the perfect thing for, and I think, as you mentioned, for anyone who's at any stage of their artistic career, you can always learn something more. How did the partnership form, Julie?
Jenny reached out to me and said she would like to do this. And I said, oh yes, this is a must.
Mm-hmm.
As most of you know, artists create, but that's not all we do. We have to promote. And how do you do that effectively? And there's so many other things, like writing grants. Our last one was about getting your work out there. I mean, that's a big feat in itself. I mean, how do you get in those galleries? How do you get in the art fairs? And eventually, maybe, hopefully, museums. I mean, and where do you start in your beginning of your career, mid-career, later in your career? And I think we did our first one in September, and it was very intimate, and everybody walked away with something really good.
That's important. Yeah. And that, and so it is a series that's set up. I love the way that it's set up. It's kind of a more casual, you know, interactive session. And the first one, as you mentioned, was in September. This one is session 2, Promoting and Marketing Your Artwork, November 10th, which is next week at 6 p.m. at the Lanesboro Arts, which I have not been there, but I've heard,
you must go.
I have heard so much about it. Everybody talks about it. So I've got a field trip in my future. And this is happening. It's at the St. Main Theater. You can get all the details at either the Paradise Center for the Arts website, paradisecenterforthearts.org, or northfieldartsguild.org. Both have links to all the information. Do people need to register in advance?
They can, but they don't have to. We're working with Cara at Lanesboro Arts, and we'll have plenty of room. And if you want to carpool, let us know.
That's true.
It's a little bit of a drive, but it's going to be well worth it.
It's about an hour, is it?
Closer to two.
It's an hour, 41 minutes.
Maybe that's why it's just outside the, you know, you have to have intention. This will be a good reason to go down there.
Yeah.
And each of these sessions, so there will be a total of 4 in the whole series, mm-hmm. has guest artists who mm-hmm. are on the panel. Tell us how you've arranged for this one on marketing and promotion.
Well, I think the concept is something that had happened before, having panelists. This is before my time. So this is one reason I reached out to Julie, as I was like, I don't know. I want to do this thing. I don't know how to do it. So I guess for me, what I was thinking about with this particular workshop are, okay, who are some artists that I know who seem to really, like, be out there? Like, people know their name. People are, you know, they're seeing their work all over the place. Or like, in the case of Cedric Brion, who I invited, like, I see him self-promoting like crazy. Like, he's mm-hmm. really, really good at it. And so I reached out to him. Just, he was a friend on Facebook, and I was like, hey, I always see you promoting your group. Greenvale Manitou is his musical group. And I was like, would you want to be a panelist on this? Because I just see that he knows what he's doing. And talking to him more, I realized, yeah, he has a lot figured out in a lot of different aspects, like especially the use of social media and that kind of thing. So...
Well, now, I have to ask, because Greenvale and Manitou are streets here in Northfield. Uh-huh. Does he have a connection?
He lives very close to there. I'm not going to give away his address.
No, but that's okay. That's a cool
tie. Yeah.
It works, right?
Yeah.
I guess I'd never made the connection.
Yeah.
But when you say it, it just clicked with me, like, that's so cool.
Yeah. And Manitou is like a spiritual... I'm not gonna try to go there. I can't remember. But the quote that on their website, they are on their information, says, like, for in the green veil dwells the Manitou. So,
ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It is. And so that's a wonderful, you represent all different kinds of arts on these panels. And
yeah.
So it's really hard to promote yourself. And so to have people who've done it and are confident and good at it is important. Also, tell us about some of the other panelists for this session.
Well, a lot of you probably know Glennis Lessing, amazing pottery artist with a Northfield address. You can find her stuff at the Guild. She's just amazing, really good at self-promotion on social media. And you can find her on the Art Tour, the Cannon River Clay Tour, and other places too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reached out to Lanesboro to find a Lanesboro artist. We have Michael Seeler. He actually has iPrize Marketing. He is a master goldsmith and art fair veteran of over 20 years. Michael turned his creative endeavors towards founding iPrize Marketing in 2019. So this guy is not only a phenomenal jewelry artist, but has his own marketing firm. So I'm really excited to talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like he'll have some great lessons too. And then our last artist, there's 4 on the panel.
Yeah, and then so Gerilyn Thielen, she's the fourth artist. And again, she's been, ever since I came to Northfield, like, I see her stuff all over the place. And she has booths at various events, and people come in when I'm working in the shop at the Guild, people come in all the time and, like, many of them already know of her stuff when they come in. So they come in already prepared to buy one of her pieces. And so I just really had the impression from her that, yeah, she's another person that knows how to do this. And I believe she does it full time. I think that's what she does. So so if you're going to survive, which is our fourth, is it the fourth?
The one in Red Wing on February 16th is Making a Living as an Artist.
Yeah.
I think that's the one I'm most excited about because that is my long-term goal, to make a living as an artist, which a lot of days seems overwhelming.
Yeah, those are some big transitions that need to happen, and there's no clear, you know, you can't go through to a checklist and say, okay, if I do this and this and this, I'll get that. And so it's a meandering road, and it's different for everybody, but that's the great thing. All these people have experience and stories to tell. And so tell us how the panel operates or how you host these evenings. Again, this is the Artist Development Series. What happens if people are interested in going? How does it work?
So the first thing, I don't know if it was mentioned, is these are free.
That was
so
yes,
audience
good
can
thing.
Just show up. I mean, registration helps, I guess, like for Cara, she was saying registration would be great. It's just, it's good to know if people are coming. But in general, you can just show up. It's free. So at the beginning of the panel, or the beginning of the discussion, panelists will kind of introduce themselves, tell a little bit about their art form, and whatever, you know, they want to say about themselves in 5 minutes or so. And then we have, Julie has created a series of questions that we can kind of ask. For the first one, we started with the questions and then things just sort of started to flow on their own. I think questions that we came up with and then the audience had their own and then it kind of just continued from there with a lot of audience questions.
It was pretty organic. It had a nice flow and everybody seemed to enjoy themselves. And
it's excellent. And it's so good to get together with other people who are kind of in some either somewhere on that place of doing that. There'll be some that have more experience or have different experiences and you can bring those ideas together. Why is it so hard for artists to think about marketing and promotion? What is your experience? You've been on both sides of the coin, so to speak, on this particular topic.
Well, I think personally it's hard to know what's working sometimes and what's not working. I mean, you could put a lot of stuff out on social media and you can kind of gauge it, but is that translating to sales? Or if you're doing a art fair, do you need to send out your own marketing, like old school, like mailing, or do you just rely on the art fair? I mean, I know you should do kind of both, but...
And the landscape is changing too,
yes,
right?
Yes. Because how do you reach people? Because the newspaper, not everybody has the newspaper, not everybody listens to the radio, not everybody's on social media. So how many different platforms do you really need to do? And the time can be overwhelming too, I think, investing all the time and energy in marketing your work and
right.
yourself.
Because it takes away from what you probably are really good at if you're at that point of marketing is, you know, getting product ready. And then, as you're doing that, you've got to learn to incorporate now that process. So what have been some of the ways that you've learned from other artists that have been successful from your own experience?
I think taking the risk of just doing it sometimes. I think that for me has probably been the biggest initial challenge anyway. You know, I think we were talking about this a little bit earlier, like for myself personally, like I can do a lot with the creative at home doing my art, producing stuff. But then it's been just that piece of like, okay, so for one, is this valuable in air quotes enough to put out into the world? And just taking that initial step of like, yeah, well, I'm going to put it out, you know, and just kind of be like, I don't know. I want to say almost like getting an attitude about it and just like believing that, that you have something to share and something to offer. And I think that's been something that watching other people around me, other artists, like just doing that has been inspirational because it's been like, well, if they can do it, I can do it, you know? kind of that. So.
Yeah, there are different stages of your career, right? Where sometimes it's that you're first putting your work out there, and then there's also, you know, you've kind of built this group of people who enjoy your work, and now how do you expand that if that's your goal too? What have you found, Julian, working with artists at the Paradise or through your experiences?
Some people are better at promoting than others. And sometimes it's hard for people. If you're a private person or if you're new to the art world, it can be intimidating. It's such a variety. And some people are so good at it and other people just need some help. And I know some people just need to find the information. And I think that's what we're trying to do. This kind of a different topic, it'll be part of one of the artist development workshops. So I remember Judy Say Willis and Tom Willis going, "Julie, you can write a grant." And I'm like, "What? No, I can't. I've never written a grant." And they're like, "We'll help you." So I think that's kind of what this series is about, is just trying to help other artists. Because you don't, until you do it, it can be very intimidating.
Right. And some of it is just trying to figure out what's next, or what is an option, or what has other people tried? Because I don't want to put effort into something that isn't going to, you know, produce results or have value. And sometimes too, it depends on what your goals are. You know, you have mm-hmm. different goals, but just trying to think through that process. It's so helpful to have other people. Who are the people you think would most benefit from coming to part of this series, this particular one, the Artist Development Series, Promoting and Marketing Your Artwork, which is November 10th at the Lanesboro Arts St. Main Theater?
I think any artist in any level of their career could gain something. I know when we did our first one, I was surprised some of the audience was more advanced artists, and then we had beginners too. So I was really shocked, and everybody came away with something.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, one of the parts of this series that is interesting to me is just the basic networking that can happen between artists. So, mm-hmm. You're sharing the audience together, but you're also, like what happened in the September 1st one, is people started then sharing information with each other in the audience. So it's not like top-down schooling where, you know, there's panelists up there telling you this is how you do it, and if you follow these directions, it's everything, you know. It's more like, these are some ways that we've done it. This worked really well. This didn't work so well. Maybe try it anyway. Try what you want. But then as creatives, we're always going to riff off each other anyway. So, you know, you might take a concept that somebody came up with and be like, yeah, that would be really good, but that's not really authentic to my personality. So I'm going to like twist it in this way, and then I can bring it out, you know, and it'll be my unique brand or whatever mm-hmm. it might be. So.
Yeah, sometimes just having that bounce back is mm-hmm. essential. And I think that it's so fun to, in that world, especially marketing and promotion, brainstorming is such a great tool to use. And it's really hard to do if you're sitting at a desk all by yourself because you don't have the experiences that everybody else has or the ideas that, you know, you can. Sometimes it's hard to see yourself and where your work would benefit from being promoted. Mm-hmm. And so it's really exciting what you're doing. I think people should really be interested in this. And I think, what do you think through this series your goals are in helping the artist community?
Well, selfishly, I want to take all of these workshops myself.
And sometimes what you wonder is what everybody else is wondering.
Yeah. I think that's kind of a big part of it. As I started trying to educate myself, I was taking some of the, like, Springboard Center for the Arts or Springboard for the Arts, some of their work of art development stuff online through the pandemic and beyond that. And it just sort of inspired me to, like, oh, you know, I just think we can really learn so much from each other. Mm-hmm. And, I think I may have lost your question.
The goals of the series, and, you know, what are you hoping to do by bringing these panels together and having an audience that participates?
I think that's why we picked these topics, is because we thought these would be for any artist, not just visual artists. So this could be for performing artists. We had a playwright in our first group. You know, it could be for musicians, literary, anybody.
Filmmakers.
Yeah, filmmakers. So not just visual artists. The goal is just try to help other artists advance their careers, mm-hmm. no matter where they are in their career.
I think that's so great. And I think that what I've found in this community, and I'll just call it the Southern Minnesota arts community, is that everybody is so generous and people are willing to share their talent and advice. And I was thinking the other day, like, I wonder what it is that makes that possible, because that you can see how in other places that maybe isn't, it feels, but you know, my insights might not be other people's experiences, but at least from what I've encountered, people want to help, because it helps the whole community if mm-hmm. everybody is doing their best and, you know, being able to bring forth their best. What is it that, in your mind, creates that culture, and how do we nurture that?
Mm. Well, I was just thinking that, you know, like, even through the pandemic, art was still selling. Like, people were still seeking out art, mm-hmm. even though there were all these financial worries and there was all this, you know, health stuff. And I think that support for the arts comes from a place of, like, we all know intrinsically that it is kind of like a fundamental part of our humanity, right? To be expressing and to have these things, because it's who we are. Like, we've been making art since as far back as we can measure, you know? And so I think for people to continue to support that, it just makes sense, because it's continuing something that has to stay alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
we are doing this series, as we've talked about, is throughout southeastern Minnesota. So actually, the Southeastern Minnesota Arts Council is sponsoring the series. And so Jenny and I were like, we need to get just out of Northfield and Faribault. Let's go to Lanesboro. Let's go to Red Wing and kind of spread the word and carpool and take people with us. And I think you have to help each other, because then that's going to create a nicer atmosphere for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I know when people come to Faribault and Northfield, they're like, oh my gosh, you people are so friendly and it's so wonderful. But I love to promote the arts, and I want everybody to succeed. And I can't imagine not helping other artists.
I think that's an important aspect of it. Do you think that from the pandemic and all that we weathered through that, that this has been helpful to artists? Have we been able to take lessons from those years, that you see people maybe committing more to what they're doing, or did it foster experimentation? I'm kind of curious about that.
I mean, it could have gone different ways for different people, but I think that there was a growth in self-reliance and focus on self-reliance. And so that includes, like, just developing your creative side, or developing whatever wants to be expressed, you know? Yeah. And I think, you know, with having, like Julie mentioned, having these different sites, like, we're also, like, the pandemic kind of closed us down into our little bubbles, our little communities, and our little individual households, and, you know, in a lot of regard. But, like, expanding out and, like, growing that to, like, oh, well, Northfield, Faribault, Red Wing, Lanesboro, we all are connected in the same region. That's not that far away from each other. We can network with each other. Like, some artist in one of those places might all of a sudden attend a workshop in a different town and meet, you know, connect with somebody that has exactly what they need to, like, to further, you know, advance what they're working on.
Mm-hmm. So people are ready for those connections.
I think so.
Yes. Yes. Networking is, I think, very important, especially in Southeast Minnesota. And I just lost what I was going to say. Sorry.
We're talking about just how we, what are the lessons we learned from
My number one lesson I learned from the pandemic is to be more flexible.
Mm.
Before the pandemic, if something didn't go right, I would get really, really irritated and upset. I mean, not horribly, but now it's like, oh, well, let's move on and let's figure it out. Right. I mean, what can you do? Just, you have to move on and be flexible. And maybe it's taught us to be more creative.
Mm-hmm. I would think, yeah, it has, because we've had that ability to know that the things we might love might get taken away, right? They have, maybe there's more value, or we want to put more effort to making those things. And to also like, oh, this is what it is, and here we go.
Well, and just, I think like Jenny said, it's, oh my gosh, we can get together in the same room and talk to each other and not virtually, you know, that to me is huge. I mean,
Right. And being an audience member with other people has been something I've been doing obviously in the last, I don't know, hard to remember when we all came back out, but it is very good to be in the theater. I was at the Paradise Center for the Arts just last weekend for the play, and just being in that space where other people are creating is so inspiring in and of itself. And so I'm very excited for this series, folks. We've been talking about the Artist Development Series, and it is a partnership with the Northfield Arts Guild and the Paradise Center for the Arts. You can get all the details at the northfieldartsguild.org, and I've got or the paradisecenterforthearts.org. I've got links on the posting in our kymnradio.net posting for this show. Session 2, Promoting and Marketing Your Artwork, November 10th, 6 p.m. at Lanesboro Arts at the St. Main Theater. And amazing, there's no ticket. It's absolutely a free session. Folks can come and learn, be open to you know, sharing and hearing and learning. What a great opportunity. I think that both those organizations have so much, they've always been so connected with the communities and working to help artists. This is another addition. Hopefully it'll be something that continues for, you know, beyond the first force in this series.
Oh, yes. There's tons of topics we could cover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to be able to expand that to all of the southeastern Minnesota is fantastic. I also want to ask, because both of you represent the Paradise and the Northfield Arts Guild, I saw that, Julie, you have a class coming up I wanted to mention so that people can maybe get registered for that. Tell us a little bit about what you've got coming up or
paint
anything
else. Paint a Portrait of Your Pet 2.0, November 8th and 9th. That's a four-hour class, 2 hours on the 8th, 2 hours on the 9th. And I will walk you through how I paint pet portraits.
And that is at the Paradise.
That's at the Paradise, yes. And I just taught one at Northfield Arts Guild, oh my gosh, in October.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm amazed that you can't, I've seen some of the results from the class, and it's kind of fun what are able to do, and, you know, to be able to take something that you love and get it reflected back to you, and the way that you teach, I've heard such great things. So.
Oh, thank you. And I actually taught one at 50 North a little bit ago, and that was a lot of fun.
So look out for that. You can sign up at the Paradise website.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else going on at the Paradise you want to promote?
Right now we have wood carvers in the Carlander Gallery. We have Ivan Willock, Chris Willock, and Marv Kaiserstadt. You probably saw the exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
Those three gentlemen all live downtown Faribault, and they're all nationally renowned wood carvers. And it's a show I wanted to have at the Paradise since I've started. So that's phenomenal. Shelley Caldwell has a installation with spider plants and her 2D work that's, again, phenomenal. And we have Autumn Caroline's photography from around the world in the Vranish Boardroom Gallery. And we have Bethlehem Academy in our student gallery.
There's always something happening in the arts.
Yes.
So it's such a beautiful place to go and visit.
Yes, and check it out. We've got Elvis, I call him our Elvis, Joseph Hall, coming Saturday, which that show's almost sold out. And then we've got C. Willie Miles coming. Merlin Players is going to do their last performance, The Christmas Carol, the beginning of December.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. And how about at the Arts Guild? What can people look forward to?
Well, the Fine Craft Collective is currently setting up shop in our main gallery space.
It's the holiday season.
Yes. So that's really exciting. That, I believe, is opening next week. But I'm not the gallery person, so I'm not totally positive on that. Our theater season is off to a great start. We had a bunch of shows the last couple weekends, and we're moving into just, you know, that various classes still happening this fall. We'll be getting a lot of winter spring classes up in January, but we have a rose mulling class, we've got adult tap going on, we've got some drawing classes, I'm finishing up teaching a gouache painting class.
So again, yeah, something's happening, and you've both got great websites where people can absolutely check out what's happening, and especially to learn more about this session, the Artist Development Series. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
I appreciate Julie Faulkler and Jenny Atanaway from both the Paradise Center for the Arts and the Northfield Arts Guild for coming in and sharing this. I think it's going to be fabulous. So people should definitely visit this session and the next two coming up in, let's see, we have one in February and one in May. So I'll be sure and talk about those too. Thank you, folks. We are going to switch gears and talk about the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. Their concert this weekend is the Totally Romantic, the music of Nielsen and Bruckner. I'm going to play a selection from Bruckner right now, and that is the Symphony No. 7 with Günter Wand. And this is the NDR, boy, I'm not going to get this right, Elbphilharmonie Orchestra. I'm sure I have goofed that up, but here we go. We're going to listen to a little music while we switch out the studio. Anton Bruckner going as we learn a little bit more about this. Let's see how we can do this. I'll see if we can get it down a little bit where you can still hear it, but it's going. It's such beautiful music. And sitting in the studio now is Paul Nemisto, the conductor of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, who's been my guest many times. This is
good to be here.
The Totally Romantic, the music of Nielsen and Bruckner. This is Bruckner, and I listened to this piece and oh, it just grabs you.
It's delicious, you know.
Yeah, that's a good way.
This is the second movement, which is the one that Bruckner dedicated to his hero, Richard Wagner. And there's a lot of quotations in this music from at least Wagner mannerisms. And he also includes a quartet of Wagner tubas, which is a very special instrument, but pretty rare. And we've managed to find four in the upper Midwest who are willing to come to Northfield and play with us.
Yeah, I did take a look at that. I found a spot of music, if we want to put it on later, where they're featured.
Sure, as you wish.
We could.
The whole thing is happening tomorrow. That's Saturday the 5th, is that right?
It is right.
Yeah, fifth at 3 o'clock.
They're getting
at St. John's.
Of course, we would never do this during a concert. We would never talk over the
music.
No.
But we want to keep the atmosphere going here. And then there's a second performance at the Cathedral of Our Merciful Savior in Faribault on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And you can gain admission by arrival there. We're suggesting a $15 fee, but no one will be turned away.
That's right. You can get tickets in advance, but also at the door.
Yeah. Anyway, this symphony and the Nielsen Helios Overture are both such full of beautiful melodies or melodic fragments that everybody in the orchestra has been having their head full of these little earworms for the last 4 weeks, just having them over. This just occurred in the course of the day all the time. You're singing these melodies that we played. It's really contagious.
Mm-hmm. Is that when you mentioned, I'm not going to say this word right, L-E-I-T?
Leitmotiv.
Leitmotiv. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I am. That's a kind of some would say it's an invention of Wagner, but actually Beethoven was using it already earlier. They're just small fragments that he works over different ways all throughout the piece.
Yeah, it really is like a captivating. It's a immersive experience.
Enticing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And it's got, which is interesting because if you had asked me to describe, Bruckner, I don't know that I would have known that music.
Well, it's not. He's not
but
well
it
known.
Feels familiar.
Yes. Yeah,
so how does he do that?
Well, there's a sense. He knows the mannerisms. He knows Brahms, not necessarily. They weren't necessarily good friends, but he knows who he is, and they were aware of each other's work. And he's inspired by the same people that Wagner was, that's to say, Beethoven and Mozart. And so there's a lot of the same language being used. But he is exhaustive in how he wears these leitmotifs, shall we say, wears them down into all kinds of little fragments. He turns them upside down. He plays them backwards. He does all kinds of tricks to find ways to absorb some more meaning from those little motifs.
Yeah, it's really interesting how he does that, and it makes it for a great experience.
Yeah.
And it's quite an undertaking for this CVRO to take on this challenge.
It is. It's both an endurance issue because it's one of the longest pieces in the repertoire, and then also the fact that it's in the key of E major. And I don't know anyone listening who is knowledgeable about music would have to become amazed at the fact that there are many bars that go by in which every single note has an accidental figure before it.
Mm.
So there's the whole bar. There could be 10, 15 notes, and every one of them has got an accidental figure.
Now that's interesting because that doesn't happen often.
No,
and it's very difficult.
Yeah, and what it does is it just says something about the fact that you can hear it sounds very tonal.
Exactly.
But at the same time, it is constantly tonally meandering. It approaches E major. No, it goes somewhere else, and then it'll go somewhere else, and you never quite settle down.
So that's how he's a part of what he's doing with this, and it's. Like you mentioned, a longer piece, so you're going to do it with, there's an intermission.
Yeah, we decided to do two movements and then take a break. Mostly, I suppose for the audience, because they need to have to give their ears a rest, but also the orchestra needs. There's a very heavy brass parts. They're very intense.
Oh, I think is this the part? No, this is a little bit earlier than the spot that I found to talk about those special instruments.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's get on to that if you want to.
Sure. I do want to ask, tell us about the era that this was written. Because, I was imagining it feels like we need to, be in a ballroom or there's movement to what.
Oh, that's true. There's an element of dance to this. And it's also, you can remember he's Austrian. So he's always aware also of the horns in the Alps and these kind of things, which also inspired, of course, Richard Strauss in his day. But the mid late 1800s, and at this time Wagner was already in his deathbed. This is why this movement was written, and And it, there are people like Mahler who were also influenced by this music, who were just coming along. And I haven't read the biography very well, so I don't know whether they ever met. And I don't also know whether Nielsen and Bruckner met. They could have, because there's also a cross influence there.
That's the other piece you're playing.
Yes, it's about a sunrise.
This again is the Bruckner's, let's see, which symphony, number 7.
Yeah.
And this is conducted by, he was 87 years old at the time, Günter Wand.
Yeah, this is one of the great interpretations that's recorded. And it's, I'm sure that he didn't live much past that, but it was very well thought out.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. So if you have a chance, folks, I encourage you to go and look that up. I was thinking, for you as a conductor, when you watch something like this, are you looking at what the conductor's doing and thinking about how he's inviting the musicians to take part?
Yeah, well, I was interested in, I heard several interpretations, and to see, there's a wide range of tempos. I mean, there's there's one or two that go an hour and 20 minutes, an hour and 25 minutes, where they just do an incredible amount of stretching things out and elongating. I'm interested in how he reads the score and what he's taking from it,
mm-hmm.
and see whether it illuminates me and somehow is how I want to do it.
That is always something I hadn't thought about with an orchestra, is that who's on the podium in front of the orchestra can make a difference in how you experience it.
Oh, yes.
Even if it's the same notes on the printed page.
Yes.
And so I think that's an aspect people don't often think about.
Well, maybe not. Yeah. I mean, although there's a kind of a hero aspect that the public has put onto major conductors, considering them sort of like titans, superhuman.
That's true.
None of that is, of course, true, but they're just human like anybody else, but they do their homework.
Maybe that's what it is, right? Yeah. They're good students.
Yes.
And another question I had, which is just a very random, odd question, I'll ask it. I happened to find a piece of my son's choir homework or paper, and it was talking about the way that the choir breathes and each of the sections and the people planning their breathing in their singing. And I thought, well, I wonder if an orchestra does that as well, even though you may have a string instrument and you're not, you know, like a flute or a clarinet or a brass instrument needing to use breath to produce the music. But as a whole, is there ways that you want the orchestra to breathe?
Well, there's each section has a little different approach to this. One of them is that the strings, as you say, don't need breathing primarily as a way to make their sound. However, because the music is human, and there are phrases, there's a sense in a phrase could be somehow similar to a sentence or to a stanza. So how do you breathe when you speak? How do you breathe when you read poetry? It's a good idea for the string players to imitate that idea, even if they're not necessarily doing it. For the brass and winds, it's absolutely necessary, because that's how they make their sound. You can turn this up and let it go now. This is great.
Okay, we'll take a listen to Bruckner's Symphony No. 7.
I just wanted to get that second melody that opens here.
It was really great. I'm going to pop ahead to the part where they have the special tubas, the Wagner
tubas. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead. I'm going to scroll. Hopefully I can catch it right at the right spot. This is a second or two before it happens. So you can tell us, what's a Wagner tuba? Here we go. Let's listen first.
There they are. They were invented by Wagner with the idea of having an ensemble that bridged the sound between trombones and horns, something in between. They look like a euphonium, sort of, but they're just narrower bore, and they actually use French horn mouthpieces.
It looks that way, yeah. So how did you find these players?
Through the Vintage Band Festival. They came to do a presentation at one of the lectures, and I met John Cohen, and we talked it up, and it inspired me to think about the symphony.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. And that's just one of the songs that you're going to be playing for this particular concert. So, folks, totally romantic. The Music of Nielsen and Bruckner is the CVRO concert this weekend, November 5th, 3 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Church here in Northfield, and November 6th, also at 3 o'clock at the Cathedral of Our Merciful Savior in Faribault. And tickets are online, but go to the door, yeah. You can get them.
Im Deutsche Sprecher, es ist Bruckner.
Oh, okay. I guess I had the American version.
It's all right.
It is just really glorious music, and I find that time at the orchestra just great time to recharge and sort of get lost a little. Right.
We may even have sunshine at least one of those days. If there is on Saturday, then the sun will be shining during the concert, which will be very nice over at St. John's.
Beautiful, both beautiful spaces.
Yes.
So the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, you can get details at the website for the Northfield Arts Guild. And thank you so much for coming in and bringing this music to us. I hate to even turn it off because, you know, there's still a little bit, about 20 minutes left in the song.
The second movement is about 20 minutes long.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And so there's a lot happening, and it's just a great way to spend a weekend afternoon. Thank you, Paul Nemisto from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. You've been listening to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. I thank you so much for tuning into the show that celebrates all things imagination. I hope that you, of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.